How do we keep teens from beginning to smoke? One idea, a tobacco 21 law that limits tobacco sales to people 21 or older instead of the current age of 18. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he's going to introduce federal legislation to raise the legal age to buy tobacco from 18 to 21. He calls it a top priority when the Senate returns from recess in just a few days. A University of Michigan study finds that doing this, raising the tobacco purchase age, could prevent thousands of premature deaths in Michigan. One of the researchers studying what happens when a tobacco 21 law is passed is Holly Jarman, and she's with us now, an assistant professor at the University of Michigan School of Public Health with us via Skype. Holly, welcome.
Oh, hi. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let us cut right to the chase. If someone has to be 21 to buy tobacco cigarettes in Michigan, how many people could that keep from starting to smoke?
Well, we did some modeling because we were very interested in this question. And so if we passed a tobacco 21 law in 2019, we predict that by 2025, about 11,000 fewer young people in Michigan would start smoking, which is quite a significant number.
And how many premature deaths could be averted by that?
So by 2100, so when we do this modeling, we have to do it over a longer time period, we would avert something like 17,000 smoking-related deaths. And about 198,000 fewer people would have started smoking by that point.
Now tell me, how did you construct this research? Help us understand how you came to this to these conclusions.
We had a couple of my colleagues who had worked on a report for the Institute of Medicine, which looked at this nationally. And we said, well, there are so many states and localities looking at tobacco 21. Can we take the models that you made for the national data and apply them to Michigan? Can we find Michigan data and come up with some specific numbers so that if decision makers in our state decide to go forward with a tobacco 21 law, they'll have some evidence to go on?
So what are the main components of your study, Holly?
So we did three things. First of all, we did some modeling. We looked at quantitative data to see what the effect would be on health in Michigan of a tobacco 21 law. Second, we went and did some case studies. So we talked to people in comparable communities in the state of Ohio to see how they had implemented their tobacco 21 law. And the third thing we did was actually a national survey of young people aged 14 to 24, because we think it's very important that people who are actually going to be affected by this law, young people, are actually engaged in the decision making. And so there we saw a majority, about 60% of the respondents to our survey, supported the adoption of a tobacco 21 law. About 29% were against the introduction of a tobacco 21 law. We saw a similar majority in Michigan, about 60% support. And I think it's really important to just shed a light on the debate that's happening amongst young people about e-cigarettes, about Juul, about the health effects, and also things like individual responsibility and their individual rights.
And we've seen, as you put in your report, seven states and some 400 municipalities have already passed tobacco 21 laws. And a measure was introduced in Michigan's House of Representatives in January. Am I correct on that?
Yes, that's right.
And how much support are we seeing in Lansing for doing this?
We still don't know. I think there's definitely some support amongst representatives. This was a bipartisan supported piece of legislation that was introduced in January. We've also seen some interest in the governor's office. During the governor's elections last year, Governor Whitmer, part of her platform was tobacco 21. And so that was part of the motivation for this. If we have bills being introduced in the legislature and some interest at the executive level in our state, we really need to be armed and prepared with some data to make a sensible decision.
And that's what this report attempts to offer up.
That's one of the things we're trying to do. In addition to the modeling, we also then went and did some case studies in Ohio, talking to people in those Ohio cities who have implemented Tobacco 21. And we tried to understand how they were doing that, and what they were doing that was successful and what they were doing that had been less successful.
And it seems Columbus came across looking pretty good as far as having an especially well-crafted policy.
Yes, that implementation is so important. Unless we really go into a tobacco 21 law thinking carefully about how we're going to put that law into practice, there's a chance that the law will be much less effective. We took a look at Columbus and Cleveland and then two smaller cities, and looked at how they'd gone about implementing their Tobacco 21 laws. And Columbus seemed particularly successful to date because they had actually introduced a system of tobacco licensing. And the people that we talked to said this was giving them much greater ability to form relationships with local retailers, to collect data about where young people in Columbus were getting their tobacco products from, and to follow up in those cases where retailers really were selling to underage people, to follow up by suspending the license or charging a fine, which is a bit of a better leverage than the way they had been previously organizing access to tobacco in Columbus.
And Columbus put some money in there too, didn't they? Funding to help implement these the policy and also educate retailers.
Yes, they did. And I think that's vital. We have some places in Michigan that actually do this. If you look at Ingham County, for example, Ingham County has had a tobacco retail license for some years. And they also have put a little bit of money into assembling a database, so understanding who their tobacco retailers are in their community, and then spending a bit of money to actually provide education and training for local clerks and local retailers. And Columbus was doing a very similar thing. And we noticed that in both of these cases, we actually see in the data a reduction in the number of young people able to buy tobacco products in the retail environment.
Holly, have we seen pushback in any communities that are working to get a Tobacco 21 law?
Yes. So in Michigan, currently, we have two places that have passed the Tobacco 21 law. One is Ann Arbor and the other one is Genesee County. And in Genesee County, there was actually some legal action against that law. And so a local company that is an oil company and a local business brought this to a legal case and challenged the ability of Genesee County to pass such a law. And the judge actually has suspended the law in Genesee County. This decision is going forward to further legal appeal. But you can see that there's still some opposition to Tobacco 21. And there are some parts of our state law that make it difficult for localities to actually pass their own laws and decide how tobacco retail will work within their own jurisdictions.
Holly, how does this research on Tobacco 21 and making it harder for under 21s to purchase tobacco, how does that fit with what we're learning about teens and vaping? Are we just pushing kids from one tobacco delivery system to another?
A lot of the Tobacco 21 laws that are being passed now really do cover all tobacco products for those under age 21. So we're not just talking here about cigarettes or little cigars, which are quite commonly used by young people in Michigan. But we are also talking about things like electronic cigarettes, Juul, and other more novel products would be included in these kinds of laws, including things like paraphernalia. So we have to be careful. At the moment, we're still, as researchers, learning more about how e-cigarettes or vaping might be likely to harm the health of young people. But we do know that the CDC recommends that those under the age of 21 should not use these products and that they're not safe. We need to balance that in our community against the likelihood that someone who is older and already a smoker may well get a benefit from using an e-cigarette product if they find it very hard to quit. There is still more research to be done on this, but these Tobacco 21 laws are designed to cover comprehensively all tobacco control products, not just cigarettes.
Holly Jarman is an assistant professor at the University of Michigan School of Public Health, and their new study finds that raising tobacco purchase age to 21, and that is all forms of tobacco, would prevent thousands of premature deaths in Michigan. Thank you so much for sharing your research with us, Holly.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.